नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Krishna. Today we are reading from Canto 3, Chapter 20. Chapter 20 is entitled Conversation between Maitreya and Vidura. And today we are reading text 9. Vidura uvacha Prajapati pati shrishtva प्रजा सर्गे प्रजापतीन किम आरभतामे ब्रह्मान् प्रभु ही अव्यक्त मार्गवेद विदुर उवाच प्रजापतीन किम आरभत मे ब्रह्मान् प्रभुहि अव्यक्त मार्गवेद विदुर उवाच प्रजापतीन किम आरभता मे ब्रह्मान् प्रभुहि अव्यक्त मार्गवेद विदुर उवाच विदुर सेड प्रजापति पति लॉर्ड ब्रह्मा सृष्ट्वा आफ्टर क्रिएटिंग प्रजा सर्गे फॉर द पर्पस ऑफ क्रिएटिंग लिविंग बीइंग्स प्रजापतिन द प्रजापतीज किम व्हाट आरभता स्टार्टेड मे टू मी ब्रह्मान् ओ होली सेज प्रभ्रूहि टेल अव्यक्त मार्गवित नोअर ऑफ दैट विच वी डू नॉट नो ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रीला प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन विदुरा सेड सिंस यू नो ऑफ मैटर्स इनकंसीवेबल टू अस टेल मी ओ होली सेज What did Brahma do to create living beings after evolving the Prajapatis, the progenitors of living beings? Please repeat the translation. Vidura said, since you know of matters, inconceivable to us,
tell me,
O holy sage,
what did Brahma do
to create living beings
after evolving the Prajapatis?
Progenitors of living beings. Purport. Significant here is the word avyakta margavit, one who knows that which is beyond our perception. To know matters beyond one's perception, one has to learn from a superior authority in the line of disciplic succession. Just to know who is our father is beyond our perception. For that, the mother is the authority. Similarly, we have to understand everything beyond our perception from the authority who actually knows. The first avyakta margavit or authority is Brahma, and the next authority in disciplic succession is Narada. Maitreya Rishi belongs to that disciplic succession, so he is also avyakta margavit. Anyone in the bona fide line of disciplic succession is avyakta margavit, a personality who knows that which is beyond ordinary perception. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya चक्षुरुन्मुलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधरा श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंदा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम So we are seeing here that the chapter is entitled Conversations Between Maitreya and Vidura. So we see that the Srimad Bhagavatam is actually a series of conversations, just as the chapter is also entitled. And it is a conversation at different levels between different personalities. So at the outset, Srimad Bhagavatam begins as a conversation between Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami. And Parikshit Maharaj is actually milking Sukadeva Goswami by asking lots of questions. He is extracting the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of Sukadeva Goswami. So Parikshit Maharaj was the cause, like many of you know the pastime, so I'm not going to reiterate the pastime, but Parikshit Maharaj was the cause of Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken in this material world 5,000 years ago. He actually made the Bhagavata manifest for all of us. So it starts with Parikshit Maharaj and Sukadeva Goswami, conversation between the two of them. And in this assembly, when Sukadeva Goswami is speaking, there is also Suta Goswami who is sitting and listening to the Srimad Bhagavatam. So then it percolates down to the conversation between Suta Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. That is the next level of conversation that is happening. So in many places we will see one person speaking to another person. In some other places we will see another person speaking to another person. So parallelly all these conversations are being narrated to us in the Bhagavatam. We also see, like, you know, these two personalities speaking, Parikshit Maharaj being spoken to by Sukadeva Goswami, then we see that Maitreya Muni is also speaking to Vidura at one level. And that is the conversation right now that is going on. We also see Suta Goswami speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya. And early on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we actually see, and which Chaitanya Charan Prabhu recently covered, we see the Chatushloki Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord Himself to Brahma. So the original Bhagavatam is only 4 shlokas and then it was expanded by different personalities for the benefit of the relevant audience, the hearers who were hearing from them. So the original Bhagavatam was spoken by the Lord, and at one level it is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam that the 4 Kumaras actually travelled through the Ganga, like the water of the Ganges. They emerged in the Garbhodaka ocean and they heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of Anantashesha. So that is one more level of conversation where Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken. So Sukadeva Goswami speaking to Parikshit Maharaj, we also see Suta Goswami speaking to the sages of Naimisharanya, then Maitreya Muni speaking to Vidura, we also see the Lord himself had spoken Bhagavatam in the condensed version to Lord Brahma, and we also see the Kumaras who had heard Srimad Bhagavatam from Anantashesh. So it is a conversation at different levels. And the Bhagavatam is being spoken by different personalities who are realized souls, who are completely realized souls acting as speakers. In fact, we see in this verse, it is saying that Vidura is asking from Maitreya Muni that since you know of matters inconceivable to us, and Prabhupada stresses this word in the purport, Prabhupada says that the word avyakta margavit, one who knows that which is beyond our perception. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a scripture which is completely beyond our perception. It is, when we say perception, means it is not at a material level. It is not a mundane scripture. It is a transcendental scripture which has come from the spiritual world. So obviously something which is spirit is beyond the perception of matter. And that is why Vidura is actually praising Maitreya Muni, that you are the one who is knower of matters which are inconceivable to us or which are beyond our perception, and therefore you are the right authority to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. And every personality whom we just mentioned is actually the right authority to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, because they were all realized souls. They had themselves heard from another realized soul. For example, Sukadeva Goswami, Now we all know that Sukadeva Goswami was actually a Brahmavadi. He was not a devotee. In fact, he stayed in the womb of his mother and he did not want to come out only because he was fearing that Maya will take him over as soon as he comes out. So he stayed in his mother's womb for 16 years. And then actually when only the Lord came and assured him that, okay, Maya will not take over you, you will not get entrapped in the three modes of material nature, only then did he agree to come out of his mother's womb. So this is inconceivable for us, for 16 years of woman holding pregnancy. You know, in 9 months only women get tired and they actually want to deliver the baby so that they are rid and they can be free of carrying the burden of the baby in the womb. But for 16 years, Sukadeva Goswami's mother was bearing him in the womb. So Sukadeva Goswami came out and he was a Brahmavadi, he was a completely liberated soul. So as soon as he came out of the womb, he walked away from his house because he knew if he stays in the house and he gets involved in the grahastha, you know, affairs of life, then he will actually be pulled down from his Brahman platform. So he actually started walking away and then his father, Vyasadeva, ran behind him in separation from his son, trying to call him back. And the verse which, and Vyasadeva also sent his disciples to call Sukadeva Goswami back. And the verse which Vyasadeva recites to Sukadeva Goswami was, Aho Bakiyam Sthanakala Kutam. The verse which glorifies Krishna's qualities. And which quality does it glorify? It glorifies Krishna's quality of Bhakta Vatsala. So that verse actually says, Sthanakala Kutam. That means it's talking about Putana. So it says that, oh my Lord, you are the one who gave actually the position of a dhatri. Dhatri means a nurse in the spiritual world, to a woman who had actually come to kill you by smearing poison on her breast. So we know the pastime of Putana. Putana was a demoness who had been sent by Kamsa to kill Krishna. And she was the first demon who came to Krishna. And Krishna was just a newborn baby. So she actually came with such, she came with such an evil motive, disguised in the form of a beautiful woman, but carrying an evil motive in her heart. She came with the poison on her breast and she tried to feed her poisoned milk to Krishna. But we know Krishna actually sucked not only the poison, all her milk, but he also sucked her life air out. So he killed her in that way. But still, because she had come with the motive of feeding breast milk to Krishna, Krishna actually rejected the other ill motives with which she had come. And Krishna always takes the good which a devotee has to, which anybody has to offer. Putana was not even a devotee. So imagine about devotees. So this is a lesson we learn from the Lord, that the Lord always wants to see the good in others, always wants to extract the good which others have to offer. And Putana actually did not come with an intention to offer good, but the Lord actually saw it in that way, that she has come to feed me breast milk. And who normally feeds breast milk? It's a woman who is in the position of the mother, or a mother only feeds breast milk to the child. So in thinking of that motive of her, Putana, he gave her the position of a nurse, a dhatri. A nurse means a motherly woman who will look after Krishna in the spiritual world. And this is the verse which the Vyasadeva and his disciples recite to Sukadeva Goswami as he was walking away, leaving home. And on hearing this verse and hearing about this transcendental quality of Lord Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami becomes very attracted. And then he comes back. And then he hears the entire Srimad Bhagavatam from Vyasadeva. So we see Sukadeva Goswami has heard something which is beyond our perception, Avyakta Margavit, from Vyasadeva, who is another realized soul. Vyasadeva is non-different from Krishna. He is actually an incarnation of Krishna. So Sukadeva Goswami heard from Vyasadeva. And once he heard from Vyasadeva, he then became qualified to speak the Bhagavatam because he had heard it from an authority. As Prabhupada says here, that we have to understand everything beyond our perception from the authority who actually knows. And anyone who is in the disciplic succession, who has heard from an authority, becomes a qualified speaker who can actually speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Vyasadeva spoke to Sukadeva Goswami, and because Sukadeva Goswami heard from Vyasadeva, he also became a self-realized soul on the matter of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then he narrated it to Parikshit Maharaj. And in that assembly, Suta Goswami was sitting and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. And because Suta Goswami now heard from Sukadeva Goswami, he became a realized speaker and he became qualified to then speak the Srimad Bhagavatam. So later on, he speaks the Srimad Bhagavatam to the sages of Naimisharanya. The sages of Naimisharanya were trying to perform a sacrifice for the benefit of all the people of Kali Yuga. But in Kali Yuga, sacrifice or performing yajnas is not the recommended method to achieve liberation. And they saw that there was so much black smoke coming out and their sacrifice was not being successful. And then they approach Sutta Goswami and they inquire from him. And then the entire Srimad Bhagavatam, as Sutta Goswami had heard from Sukhadeva Goswami, he narrates it to the sages of Naimisharanya. So that is another level of conversation that is happening over here. And in fact, 2 verses ago it is mentioned, in verse 7, it is mentioned that Sutta Goswami, on being questioned by the sages of Naimisharanya, the son of Romaharshana, Sutta Goswami, whose mind was absorbed in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, then started speaking. So one who hears the Srimad Bhagavatam attentively, his mind becomes absorbed in the Bhagavatam, in the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, and then he starts speaking the Bhagavatam to the hearers. So qualified speakers and inquisitive hearers, that is the best combination for the Bhagavatam to be spoken. Unless one is himself absorbed in the pastimes of the Lord, he cannot narrate the pastimes of the Lord effectively, and those such that they are beneficial to the hearer. So Sutta Goswami was absorbed in the pastime of the Lord, and he narrated the pastime of the Lord to the sages of Naimisharanya. And Shaunaka Rishi, who is representing all the sages of Naimisharanya, he is the leader and he is asking questions on behalf of the sages. So Srila Prabhupada writes, and even Burijan Prabhu writes in his Unveiling the Lotus Feet book, in his the translation or his purports to the 1st to 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Burijan Prabhu writes that because Shaunakadi rishis, all the sages had heard about the pastime of Varahadev, and that is the pastime which just got over. So because all the sages had heard, they became very eager to hear about the pastimes of the Lord more and more. And therefore now they are asking these questions to Sutta Goswami. So even in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we are currently studying under Keshav Prabhu as part of our Bhaktivedanta course, the first chapter is actually entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna. And the initial part of that first chapter of the 10th canto talks about absorption or talks about hearing. So it again starts with questions by Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is asking Sukadeva Goswami that you have up till now narrated so many pastimes to me, but now you please narrate the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Balaram to me. I am so eager to hear the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And there Parikshit Maharaj is mentioning that one who hears the transcendental pastimes of the Lord can actually quench or satisfy his hunger and thirst just by hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And there Prabhupada mentions that Sukadeva, Parikshit Maharaj, had given up eating and drinking. He was no longer worried about eating or drinking. He was only quenching, or he was only satisfying his hunger and thirst through oral reception, not oral reception. Like not through eating, but through oral, through hearing. He was satisfying his hunger and thirst. So that much Parikshit Maharaj had become absorbed in hearing the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva Goswami actually glorifies Parikshit Maharaj for his questions over there. He says that your question is so glorious that you are asking about the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram. And now whatever I speak will not only benefit you, but it will benefit many, many generations to come. And there Prabhupada writes that Krishna actually comes to perform his pastimes so that we can hear about their pastimes, so that we can become absorbed in these pastimes. So unless Krishna performs his pastimes, how will we hear about them? And how will we become absorbed? How will we be able to do smaranam or meditate on these pastimes while we are chanting? So Krishna performed the pastime as Lord Varahadev, which just got over. And most of these pastimes, till the 9th canto, Krishna performs actually to establish dharma. He comes, like, you know, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanathaya sambhavami yuge yuge. He comes millennium after millennium to establish the principles of religion. He comes millennium after millennium to actually annihilate the miscreants. And in the case of Hiranya, the demon Hiranya Yaksha, we see that the Lord came in the form of a boar. So he assumes different forms just to establish the principles of religion and to annihilate the miscreants. So he came to kill Hiranyaksha and he came to establish dharma. He came to establish Mother Bhumi back in its orbit, so that then progeny could happen on Mother Earth and then the creation could continue. In fact, in the next few verses in this conversation, we will see how Brahma is creating different parts of Visarga, or the secondary creation. So the Lord comes to perform these different pastimes to establish dharma. But in the 10th canto it is mentioned that the Lord comes, and when he performs his Vrindavan pastimes, the purpose is not to establish dharma. The purpose is actually to enjoy unlimited bliss. That is the whole purpose of coming to Vrindavan and performing pastimes for Lord Krishna. And actually, if you see and we compare the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan to his other pastimes, from a mundane moral point of view, the pastimes of Vrindavan actually are, can be, somebody can label them as being immoral. Because in Vrindavan, the Lord is performing pastimes. He is performing Ras Leela with the wives of other people. The gopis are actually married to other cowherd men. So somebody can misconstrue these pastimes and they can see, and there are many people in India who do that, who actually label as Krishna as being adharmic or engaging in immoral activities. But the Lord does not care. He actually is establishing in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that I have come to perform pastimes in Vrindavan just to enjoy unlimited bliss and reciprocate with my loving devotees. That is my purpose of performing pastimes in Vrindavan. And he has actually come to tell us that in through the 10th canto or through his pastimes of Vrindavan, that don't be attached to mundane moral dharma. Give up mundane moral dharma or give up mundane religious principles and rise above them to develop love for me. And in that connection, I heard a very interesting lecture. And in that lecture, the speaker was speaking about, he was comparing Dasharatha Maharaj to Vasudev. So Dasharatha Maharaj, or Lord Ram's pastimes, are mentioned in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we know that Dasharatha Maharaj, the entire Ramayana is based on one promise which Dasharatha Maharaj had made to Kaikeyi. The promise that he will give her two boons, and Kaikeyi had kept those boons for the right time to ask. And Kaikeyi asked for those two boons, and just to keep up his vow to Kaikeyi, the entire Ramayana then manifests. So Dasharatha Maharaj was actually following dharma. He was following morality, that to upkeep my vow to Kaikeyi, I cannot break my promise. So to upkeep his vow to Kaikeyi, he was ready to send his son away to the forest. So Lord Ram was so much beloved, he was so dear to Dasharatha Maharaj, that ultimately in separation from Lord Ram, Dasharatha Maharaj left his body. But he did not give up his vow to Kaikeyi. And what is that called? That is called acting on the moral dharma or moral religious principles. And Dasharatha Maharaj did that, and he sacrificed his own son. He sacrificed him and he asked him to go to the forest. Now we compare that with Vasudev. And in the 10th canto, the pastime of Vasudev is mentioned very early on. So Kamsa heard the ill omen from the sky when he was driving the chariot of Devaki. And the voice said that the 8th child of this sister of yours is going to kill you. So immediately Kamsa, who is a demoniac personality, he was showing so much love to Devaki 2 minutes ago, but the consciousness immediately switched as soon as he saw a threat to himself. He then caught hold of the hair of Devaki and he was ready to kill her. And at that time Vasudev promises Kamsa, there are so many like nice verses which Vasudev speaks to Kamsa just to pacify him, to pacify his mind that don't kill Devaki. He was trying to protect his wife. So he, in trying to protect his wife, Vasudev promises Kamsa. He says that every child that is born of Devaki, I will come and give it to you. Give that he or she to you, and then you can do whatever you want. You can kill the child. Devaki, your sister is not a threat to you. So kill the child if you want, but don't kill your sister. So Vasudev promises this, and he keeps his promise for the first 6 children. He actually takes every child to Kamsa, and Kamsa mercilessly kills those children. And of course, there is a different reason for these 6 children. It is said that the 6 anarthas have to go from the heart. The 6 children who are killed before Krishna, and before Balaram and Krishna appear, they represent the 6 anarthas in our heart. Greed, envy, lust, pride, anger, illusion. So they actually represent these anarthas. And once these anarthas go out of the heart, only then the heart becomes a suitable place for Lord Krishna and Balaram to come and reside and perform their pastimes in the heart. And therefore this pastime was there of, Kamsa killing the 6 children. So Vasudev keeps his promise and he gives the 6 children. And the 7th child, Balaram, was transferred to the womb of Rohini. But when the 8th child, Krishna, was born, what did Vasudev have to do as per his promise? He actually had to take that 8th child and give him to Devaki. But what does Vasudev do? He does not do that. He actually breaks his promise to Kamsa. When Krishna instructs him after he was born that now you take me to Gokul where Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda are living and you exchange me with the girl that is born over there and bring that girl back, Vasudev actually breaks the promise. So Vasudev is acting on the platform of love. He is not acting on the platform of mundane moral religious principles. He is ready to break those moral religious principles, and which is what Krishna has come to teach us through his pastimes of Vrindavan, that don't be attached to mundane moral religious principles. Give them up so that you can rise to the platform of love. And Vasudev does that. He breaks his promise to Kamsa. He takes Krishna to Gokul and he brings the daughter back as Krishna had instructed him to do. Of course, that does not mean that devotees take advantage of this statement which is there in the Bhagavatam or what we hear from speakers, that we actually don't give enough importance or their due credit to following morality or religious principles. Especially we at our level as practicing devotees, we have to follow religious principles. But we are talking about these exalted personalities like Vasudev and Dasharath. So we see that he gave up his mundane religious principles and he did this out of love for Krishna. So that was the purpose of Krishna coming and performing pastimes in Vrindavan. He came to establish that he is actually the supreme lord beyond mundane moral religious principles and he can do pastimes as he likes. And they are completely spiritual. They are not on the material platform. But all the other incarnations which come, they have actually come to establish dharma. So we see that in the 10th canto, the importance of hearing about the pastimes of the Lord is mentioned. And it is mentioned over there that unless we absorb our consciousness in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, we will not be able to transcend this material world. And we will not be able to ultimately go back to Godhead unless we have absorbed, unless we have developed a taste for hearing. So by the time, like right now 3rd canto is going on, so we develop taste slowly and by the time we come to the 10th canto, our mind should be fully absorbed when we hear the pastimes of the Lord. And that is what Srimad Bhagavatam is also establishing very early on in the 10th canto. So we see that the sages of Naimisharanya have come here to hear from Suta Goswami and they are hearing about the conversation between Maitreya Muni and Vidura. And even when Parikshit Maharaj was speaking, when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing, he had also given up eating and drinking. He was also completely absorbed. So in fact, Gaurang Prabhu, I was listening to a lecture and Gaurang Prabhu mentions in that lecture that when we come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, our consciousness has to be completely absorbed. Not that, we are thinking of some other activities. And especially, I usually think when Bhagavatam class is going on, oh, when will this get over so that I can go for prasadam? That is usually the thought of devotees. But when the sages of Naimisharanya were listening from Sukadeva Goswami, they had not come over there. They had not all assembled over there with their blankets and picnic chadars and all these things. That, we are going to have breaks in between. We are going to take some rest. Nor were they taking tea or coffee breaks in between. Nor had they come with that purpose. When Parikshit Maharaj was speaking and all the sages had assembled to hear from Sukadeva Goswami, those sages had not assembled with the view that Parikshit Maharaj is now going to renounce the world. And when a king renounces the world, he gives up his kingdom, he gives up all his wealth, all his opulences, whatever assets he had acquired, he gives all that up. So, Brahmanas usually, Kaliyuga Brahmanas think of remuneration. That, he is going to give up everything, so let us go because we will get lots of dakshina. Because he is anyway going to renounce all these things. No, the sages who came there to hear along with Parikshit Maharaj had absolutely not come with that purpose. Nor had the sages of Naimisharanya come with that purpose. Nor had Parikshit Maharaj come with that purpose. They had all come just to absorb themselves in the pastimes of the Lord. Just to hear attentively the pastimes of the Lord. So that then they can do smaranam or they can meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. So why are these personalities so eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam? Why? Why they are so much absorbed? Why they are giving up eating, drinking? Why they are giving up every other activity, every other desire to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam? So as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam's first canto, it is said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. And very early on it is stated, the verse is there, Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharma Jnana Adi Bhishaha Kalo Nashte Drisham Esha Puranarko Aduno Uditaha. What does that mean? That the sages are actually asking Sukadeva Goswami and they are asking, the sages of Naimisharanya are asking Suta Goswami, that when Lord Krishna left this planet, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the first canto it is mentioned that how after the war of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna went back to his kingdom and then the Pandavas were ruling. And in a very short time Lord Krishna left the earth, he wound up his pastime and he left this planet and he went back to Golok Vrindavan. So the sages are asking that Lord Krishna left, and we know that when Lord Krishna leaves, everything, all moral religious principles leave with him. So they are then asking that where did religion or where did dharma take shelter if Lord Krishna left the planet? And that time Suta Goswami explains to them and he speaks this verse, Krishna Swadhamo Upagate, that Krishna left Swadhamo, he left to his own dham or Golok Vrindavan, Dharma Jnana Adipishaha, and he took everything with him. However, kalo nashte drisham esha. However, in Kalyuga, Srimad Bhagavatam has come down as the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna. And in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, Dharma has taken shelter. So Srimad Bhagavatam has arisen, Uditaha. It has arisen as the bright sun. It has arisen as the literary incarnation of Lord Krishna, and the Dharma has taken shelter in Srimad Bhagavatam. So in Kaliyuga, three things are very important. We know that Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has come in the form of his holy name. And from this verse, which is spoken in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, we say that, see that Srimad Bhagavatam has come in the, as the literary incarnation of Krishna in Kaliyuga, and then Archa Vigraha or deity worship. So these three things are very important. These three aspects of devotional life are very important in Kaliyuga. And therefore we see that Srimad Bhagavatam is an Amala Purana. It is, because it's the literally incarnation of Krishna, it is non-different from Krishna. So it is an Amala Purana, and that is why these personalities are so eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because it is non-different from Krishna. It is Bhagavat Purana. It is illuminating like the sun. So all these personalities want to absorb their consciousness, and they want their consciousness also to be illuminated by hearing the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam. And by hearing the pastime of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada mentions that there are three people who are immensely benefited when Srimad Bhagavatam is spoken. The first person who is benefited is the speaker himself. Because when the speaker speaks the Bhagavatam, his own consciousness is absorbed, and it is very transforming or very purifying for his own heart. So the speaker is benefited, and then the inquirer is benefited. Inquirer means the eager, or you know, the person in the audience who is very eager and who inquires, who asks a lot of questions. That person is also benefited. That's the second best person who is benefited. And the third person who is benefited is the audience who is hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So all these three personalities are benefited. And why we hear Srimad Bhagavatam? We hear it so that our consciousness is absorbed in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And when we come and we hear the pastimes of the Lord, then we absorb our consciousness in them, and then it helps us in our smaranam. When we start chanting our rounds, or when we start chanting, or when we do kirtan, then our consciousness can be absorbed and we can meditate on the pastimes of the Lord. So unless we have heard, unless Krishna performed his pastimes, whether in Vrindavan or in Dwarka or in Mathura, or his pastimes as different incarnations, like Varahadev's pastimes just got over. Unless Krishna comes and mentions, performs these pastimes, and then we come and hear them mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we will not be able to meditate on these pastimes, and we will not be able to do smaranam of this pastime. So it is the same thing with holy dhams as well. So unless we hear about the holy dhams, and unless we then go and visit the holy dhams, our consciousness will not be absorbed in the holy dham. And that is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto it is mentioned. So Prabhupada says that do hear about the holy dham. It is important that you hear, but Prabhupada also mentions that it is important that devotees every year go and reside in the holy dham for some time, so that they can absorb themselves in the holy dham, in the mood of the dham, where Krishna performed his pastimes. So we hear about the pastimes of the Lord, and we also visit the places where the Lord performed his pastimes. In fact, there is a small anecdote which is mentioned in the Leelamrita. Now Prabhupada, he actually created Mayapur. He wanted Mayapur to be his international headquarters. And you know, Chaitanya Charan Prabhu was mentioning in a few days ago in his Bhagavatam class that when first the land of Mayapur was acquired by Tamal Krishna Goswami, we go and see Mayapur today. Mayapur has been developed into a Vedic city. There are such beautiful temples they have made. There are such beautiful places to reside. And very nice gardens. We see how beautiful Mayapur Dham is. Especially the ISKCON temple. But when they actually purchased the land, it was nothing but rice paddy fields. There was just fields and fields of fields, and there was nothing else. And overgrown weeds were there. And when Prabhupada went for a walk with Tamal Krishna Goswami to survey what Tamal Krishna Goswami had purchased, Prabhupada was so pleased. He was immensely pleased that this tract of land had been purchased by Tamal Krishna Goswami. And while walking, he mentioned that Mayapur is going to, this place of land, Mayapur is going to be our international headquarters. And Chaitanya Charan Prabhu mentioned that all the disciples who were walking with Srila Prabhupada, like Tamal Krishna Maharaj, Jaipataka Maharaj, they looked at the rice fields and they were wondering, how is this place going to be our international headquarters? But Prabhupada, we know, is always far-sighted. So he could envision that this is going to become a Vedic city, and it is all actually going to become an international headquarters. So Prabhupada, every year, even when he was present on this planet, like, you know, now also it is continuing. The GBC meetings are held annually in Mayapur and they are going on right now. They usually happen before Gaur Purnima festival. So every year, even when Prabhupada was there, he started that system that all the local temple presidents and the GBCs of various zones from all over the world should come and assemble in Mayapur annually once in a year for a meeting. So Rameshwar Prabhu, who was, you know, with Prabhupada at that time, and who was very attached to BBT and to printing books. So he gave Prabhupada a suggestion. He told Prabhupada that every year, you know, 300 devotees come to Mayapur for these meetings, Prabhupada. So instead of these 300 devotees coming, like we spend, if you consider $800-$900 we spent on these devotees coming and going, if you multiply that by 300, it comes to actually thousands of dollars. So if we save that money, we don't call these devotees to Mayapur Dham every year and we actually redirect those funds to BBT and we use them for printing more and more books and distributing more books. How do you feel, Prabhupada? Is that a good thing to do? Now we know how much Prabhupada was attached to his books being printed and book distribution. We all know that. Prabhupada always used to stress about books distribution and his books being printed. But at that time, Prabhupada said no. He was emphatic. He said, no, I don't want any of these funds to be diverted to book distribution. I want every year these devotees to come. Let the expenses go towards their airfares and their traveling. I don't mind them coming because I want them to come and experience the Holy Dham every year and be absorbed in the Holy Dham and come and witness the places where the Lord performed his pastimes. So same way like we have to get absorbed in the Holy Dham, we also get absorbed in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So in fact, it is also mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Satam Prasanga Mama Virya Samvido, Bhavanti Ritkarna Rasayana Katha, Tad Joshana Daswa Apavarga Vartamani, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. What does that verse mean? It means that in the association of pure devotees, discussing the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. And we see that is being done by all these hearers. When Parikshit Maharaj was listening, he was listening in the association of devotees from Sukadeva Goswami. When the sages of Naimisharanya are listening, they are also listening in the association of devotees. When Vidura was listening from Maitreya Muni, there were other sages who had also come down there to hear from Maitreya Muni. So when you hear in the association of devotees the pastimes of the Lord and you hear the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, by cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation and thereafter he is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. So Shraddha Bhakti, Shraddha Ratir Bhaktir Anukramishyati. In sequence, your faith becomes firm by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. Rati, you develop attachment to the Lord, and Bhakti, after that devotion to the Lord develops. So these are the benefits of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in complete absorption in the association of devotees. And that is what all these personalities have been doing. In fact, you know, spiritual, what to speak of spiritual power, even mundane sound vibration or mundane narrations have so much power. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was mentioning in a lecture that many, many revolutions have taken place because people have heard very effective and powerful sound vibration from an effective speaker. So how do these revolutions take place? Through the power of sound vibration or through propaganda. So in the 1960s, when Prabhupada went to preach in the US, he was mainly preaching to a crowd of hippies. And who were these hippies? They were actually revolutionaries. They had given up mundane, mundane materialistic way of living, which their parents and which society was used to. But they had given up all those ways and they had taken to a counter culture. And why had that revolution come in the heart of all these hippies? It had come because of music. So in the 1960s, there was a genre of musicians who were actually singing songs about revolutions, who were singing song about giving up all these mundane materialistic ways of life, who were giving up messages through their songs about wars, how wars are not good, how peace is so important. So on listening to these songs continuously, this generation of youngsters who was there in the 1960s had actually become hippies. They had given up all their parents' association. They had given up living a very normal, a normal way in terms of society. They had given up that form of way of living life. And that transformation had come only through sound because they had heard these musicians speaking. Now, even if we see big, big wars, now we take the example of Hitler. Okay, how did Hitler become the most powerful person in Germany? He would speak and his speaking had such powerful propaganda that sound vibration turned everyone towards him. So if you know, if we see, even we read Hitler's history and we hear or read some of the speeches he had given, he was such a powerful orator. And through his speech, he could able to bring about that change in people's heart. And he could actually move masses and masses of people to follow him. And it is mentioned that these masses of people, just because of his, you know, the mundane sound vibration they were hearing from him, their hearts changed and they actually performed activities based on what Hitler told, which they regretted throughout their lives later on. And we know Hitler, like we know the whole pastime of the Jews massacre, which Hitler did. So he killed thousands and thousands of people, and he enabled these people to kill, you know, massacre thousands and thousands of people just by his speech. So if mundane sound can have so much power and it can have so much effect in people's heart, just imagine about spiritual sound vibration, how much effect it can have in people's heart. And then why it is so important to come and hear and absorb ourselves in spiritual sound vibration. Because if mundane power has the power, mundane sound has the power to change our hearts, definitely spiritual power will also have, spiritual sound will also have the power to change our hearts. And hearing, so you know, we see hearing should be in complete absorption. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he always used to praise Srila Prabhupada. He noticed, you know, there were so many disciples Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had, but he actually picked, he singled out Srila Prabhupada. And he used to tell his disciples, he said that I have noticed this boy, he is going to become a good preacher and he is going to achieve great things in bhakti because he is so much absorbed in hearing. When I speak, he actually sits and hears so attentively. And in fact, there is a small pastime, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was speaking in Vrindavan. So all the devotees, they had come on a Vrindavan parikrama, so they would actually run away to see different pastimes, or to see different places where the Lord had performed pastimes. So they were more interested in seeing the places of the Lord rather than hearing from their Guru Maharaj in Vrindavan Dham. But Srila Prabhupada was the person who always used to sit and hear from Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He would not go to visit different holy places in the Dham. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur really liked this quality of Srila Prabhupada. He said that I have noticed this boy likes to hear, and I can see he is absorbed in hearing the pastimes. And because Srila Prabhupada heard attentively from his spiritual master, who was, like Prabhupada says, who was Avyakta Margavit, who was actually a person who had heard from disciplic succession. So he was a person who had knowledge of things which were beyond our perception. Because Prabhupada had heard from him, he then became qualified to write Srimad Bhagavatam and to speak. And Prabhupada could then transform the hearts of millions and millions of people through his lectures as well as through his books. And currently I'm reading a book called Many Moons. This book has been written by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, and it is reflections on the lives of departed Vaishnavas. And I was listening about the life of one Mataji whom Giriraj Maharaj writes about, and her name is Archa Vigraha Mataji. So this Mataji was actually from Europe. She was a very famous artist, and she was well known. In fact, she was known as Angela, or Angel she was known as in Europe, because she had a very angelic personality, and her drawings, her artwork was very, very famous. In fact, it used to sell at a very good price. So she was such a famous artist, and then she came into Krishna consciousness. Through association of devotees, she came into Krishna consciousness, and she became a very good devotee, and she later on took initiation from Giriraj Maharaj. But early on in her life, like at a very young age, she was detected with cancer. And then she asked her Guru Maharaj, what should I do? I've been detected with cancer. So Giriraj Maharaj gave her the instruction that just go to Vrindavan and let Radharani take over. So keeping this instruction to her heart, she had actually built a house in Vrindavan, in Raman Reti. And then she went and she started living over there. And I will not go into too much details about her life, but it is mentioned, like, because we are talking about absorption in hearing the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam and absorption in hearing the pastimes of the Lord, Archa Vigraha Mataji actually perfected her life through hearing the pastimes of the Lord. So she was even till her last breath, she was still trying to paint. In fact, she is the one who painted Radha Shyam Sundar deities. If you all have gone to Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami on Radha Kund, she is the one who has painted the backdrop of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Samadhi. She was called to paint. And this was during a time when actually women were not allowed to serve as pujaris. But because she was such a good artist, in fact, one of the pujaris who was the Mahant at Radha Kund of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami temple, he He went and asked Murijan Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji, who were living in Vrindavan at that time, that we need a really good artist who can paint Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and now it will be used, that painting will be used for generations and generations. It will be kept in the samadhi and will be used for worship. So Murijan Prabhu and Jagatarini Mataji knew Archa Vigraha Mataji very well, and they suggested her name. So she used to go at night, because you know women pujaris were not allowed and during those times. So she used to go at night and she used to do the painting. And once the painting was done, everyone was so pleased, and she got so many blessings from all the senior devotees of Radha Kund. And even if we go today, it is mentioned that that painting is still there in the samadhi of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. So till her last breath, she was rendering service to the Lord by using her talents in Krishna's service, the talent which she had for art, for creating you know, beautiful paintings of the Lord. But not only was she using that art, that talent which she had in the service of the Lord, but because she was going to leave, and she knew that that talent she could not use anymore, she started absorbing herself in hearing the pastimes of the Lord. And because she had completely turned her consciousness to hear the pastimes of the Lord also arranged. So this is the benefit. When we desire that I want to absorb my consciousness in hearing the pastimes, the Lord arranges for senior devotees to come and speak about his pastimes. So all the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada used to go and read to Archa Vigraha Mataji. There were disciples like Giriraj Maharaj, her own Guru Maharaj used to go and read. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to go and read Bhagavatam to her. Purijan Prabhu himself used to go and read Bhagavatam. Shivaram Maharaj used to go and read. Bibi Govind Maharaj used to go and read. There was a daily regimen that was set up for her. Full day they would read, and in the evening then there would be kirtan for her, so that her consciousness is completely absorbed in transcendental sound vibrations. And it is mentioned that there is a play called Lalita Madhava, which has been written. And Lalita Madhava play is actually a very nice narration. I think it's been written by Rupa Goswami. And it is a very nice narration of the pastimes of the Lord, where different characters are there. And all these Maharaj who used to go and read to her, they used to actually perform like a drama. Every Maharaj would assume a different character, and they used to read that pastime of Lalita Madhava to Archa Vigraha Mataji, and they would assume different characters and read the pastime in different tones, as if that character is speaking. They used to do voice modulation and make it so interesting for Archa Vigraha Mataji to hear. So it is said that after she was completely absorbed in hearing, and on hearing these pastimes, she left her body while hearing these pastimes. And in fact, one of the Maharajs got in his dream, and Archa Vigraha Mataji also got that vision, that while she was hearing the pastimes of the Lord, she had absorbed herself and she was participating in the pastimes of the Lord. And she actually saw that she was playing in a forest along with Radharani and all the other friends, and they heard Krishna's flute, and she was running towards from where the sound of Krishna's flute was coming. So this is how she transferred herself from the pastimes which she was hearing into actually participating in the pastimes of the Lord. And that is the power of hearing in complete absorption. And that is what all these personalities who are right now hearing Srimad Bhagavatam are doing. Vidura is hearing attentively from Maitreya Muni. Sages of Naimisharanya are hearing attentively from Suta Goswami. Parikshit Maharaj is hearing attentively from Sukadeva Goswami. So Giriraj Maharaj mentions over there that if somebody thinks about the pastimes of Krishna at the time of death, he or she can enter those pastimes. But unless there is complete absorption, there is chance that we won't think of the pastimes of the Lord. So it's just like our chanting. When we are chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, if our mind is somewhere else, then we will not achieve the benefit of chanting. And Giriraj Maharaj, when he writes about this Mataji in the book, he says that what counts most is the consciousness, not what the tongue is doing or not what the lips are doing. So the lips are chanting and the tongue is vibrating the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But if our thoughts are on something else while we are vibrating the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra from our tongue, then actually we will get a destination to where our thoughts was, not to where our chanting was, because our chanting was not on Krishna absolutely. So because our chanting was not on Krishna, but our thoughts were somewhere else while we were chanting, the destination will be as per our thoughts. And that is why it is so important. Giriraj Maharaj says it is so important to absorb your consciousness, whether you are hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or whether we are hearing the pastimes of the Lord. It is important to be absorbed in the pastimes. Only then can we aim to achieve the ultimate destination, which is to participate in the pastimes of the Lord after this life is over. So in today's verse, like we saw, Prabhupada is saying that these personalities have actually seen what is beyond their perception. Now, what is beyond their perception? And this is referring to the pastime which just got over of Varahadev. So we see that Lord Varahadev's pastime is actually a very difficult pastime to understand from mundane point of view. And people can actually misunderstand. They can think that Lord Varahadev, how can the Lord appear as a pig? Varahadev came as a boar. Now a boar or a pig is considered to be the most abominable creation in this world. Because we know what pigs do. They actually, you know, go to the most filthiest of places to actually dig out and to eat things which are there in filthy places. But the Lord took this form as a boar. Now we see Mayavadis, especially Mayavadis actually have this habit of misconstruing or misunderstanding the pastime when they hear about the Lord taking this form. So they say that the Lord is Nirgun and Nirakar. And what do they, and actually Nirgun is correct. Prabhupada says that yes, the Lord is Nirgun. But when we say Nirgun means He is without material qualities. It does not mean that He is without spiritual qualities. But Mayavadis misinterpret that. They interpret Nirgun to be lack of qualities, and they interpret Nirakar, which means formless, is that there is absence of form. But Nirakar actually means that there is absence of material form. So whatever form the Lord comes in, and we are referring to the form that the Lord came in the form of a boar or Varahadev, whatever the form the Lord comes in, it is still never material. In fact, Svetashvara Upanishad says that Supreme Lord is called Sarvagya. Sarvagya means He is omniscient. He is also called as Atma Yoni. Atma Yoni means He is the source of Himself. He is also known as Kala Karta, the personification of time. And He is called as Guni. From Nirgun, we are trying to refer to Svetashvara Upanishad. So He is also called as Guni. So Guni means full of transcendental qualities. Then He is also called as Sarvavid. That means the knower and controller of material energy. So what the Mayavadis say, that Mayavadis say that when the Lord comes over here, He, material energy or Maya has taken over and she has made Him take this form, this material form which the Lord takes over here in the material world. But here it is said in the Svetashvara Upanishad that actually the Lord is Sarvavid, the knower and controller of the material energy. He does not come under the control of material energy, because of which He has to assume a form. He is also Kshetragyapati. He is the controller of Maya, and He is also Guna Isha. Guna Isha means He is the Lord of the material modes and beyond their influence. So Vedanta says, and we all know that Shakti Matayor Abheda. What does that mean? That the Lord is non-different from His transcendental energies. So the Mayavadis, when they see forms like Varahadev or Narsimhadev or Matsya Avatar, when they see Kurma Avatar, when they see all these forms which are not human-like forms, the Mayavadis tend to misinterpret or misunderstand these forms. And they say that it is Maya which is making the Lord take these forms. But we see that the Lord is completely Sarvagya. He is omniscient and He is Sarva Atma Yoni. He is the source of Himself. So whatever form the Lord takes, whether Varahadev, whether Matsya, whether Kurma, that form can never be material. And that form is still beyond our perception. That form is still beyond this material platform. It is still spiritual. And that is what Srila Prabhupada is referring to in today's verse. That you are the knower of matters which are beyond our perception, O Maitreya Muni, Vidura is saying, and therefore you explain these matters to us. You will be able to explain them to us such that we can understand these matters. Because the Lord's form and the Lord's pastimes are beyond our perception, and we can misunderstand these pastimes if we don't hear from you, who has actually understood and who is a self-realized soul. So we see that the Lord is not Nirgun Nirakar like the Mayavadis say, even though He takes these forms like, non-human forms like Varahadev or any other form. But the Lord is always Guni, and He is in fact Gunisha. He is the controller of all the material qualities as well as spiritual qualities. So we'll end the class here. It's time up, and we'll ask if there are any questions or comments or corrections on today's verse. So the question is that the six children whom Kamsa killed, whom Vasudev handed over, and we mentioned that they represent the six anarthas in our heart. So the question is whether these anarthas were in the heart of Devaki and Vasudev, or they are representing the six anarthas. So in the 10th canto now we have come to the third chapter, and in that third chapter Krishna is just about to take birth. And there it is mentioned that Devaki is actually non-different from Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada explains over there that when Sukadeva Goswami is saying Devaki is non-different from Lord Krishna, Bhagavatam is actually talking about the quality of Devaki. So Devaki and Vasudeva are pure devotees of the Lord. They are actually Nitya Siddha devotees. They are actually there in Golok Vrindavan, eternally serving the Lord as His parents. And they come down to the material world, and Devaki and Vasudeva were Sutapa and Prishni in their previous life. And they had performed austerities, millions and millions of lifetimes of austerities, because they had the desire to have Lord Krishna as their son. And in fact, in that connection, there is a very nice pastime which I would like to mention. So there were some devotees like Gurudas Prabhu and a few Matajis during the early days who were very close to Srila Prabhupada. They were some of the early disciples of Prabhupada. And they were getting lot of association of Prabhupada. They were getting lot of intimate personal service of Srila Prabhupada. So some of the other god brothers, like some of the other disciples of Srila Prabhupada, they felt a bit bereft of this of these services. So they went and asked Srila Prabhupada. They said that, Prabhupada, this is not fair that these few devotees like Gurudas and Yamuna Mataji and all these devotees are getting so much service and so much of your intimate association. We are not able to get that much association of yours. We are not able to render so much intimate service to you. And Srila Prabhupada actually cleared that misunderstanding which the other disciples had. He said that, do you know why they are getting this opportunity of having so much intimate association with me and serving me, so rendering so much service to me? It is because they have done austerities for lifetimes and lifetimes to come to this position, to serve their guru in this way. So sometimes we may see some devotees getting opportunities for more services than we might be getting. And that can lead to envy in the heart. We might think that, oh, why this devotee is getting so much opportunity? Why I am not getting this opportunity? Or why is that the Guru Maharaj is blessing that devotee with, his association or his services? Why not me? But we have to understand that these devotees, we don't know where these devotees have come from and how many austerities, how many lifetimes of austerities they have done to be able to get this service today for their Guru Maharaj or for the Lord. So in the same way, in that context, he was mentioning that Sutapa and Prishni have done lifetimes of austerities, and then they get the position to become Krishna's parents. And Devaki and Vasudeva from the original spiritual world, it is said many personalities combine in Krishna Leela to give Krishna pleasure. So Devaki and Vasudeva from the spiritual world combine with Sutapa and Prishni, and they become the parents of Krishna. So in terms of their qualities, they are non-different from Krishna because they are Nitya Siddha devotees. And Nitya Siddha devotees cannot have anarthas in their heart because they are pure devotees. Otherwise, the Lord would not take shelter in the womb of Devaki. So that pastime is more like the six children representing the six anarthas is more of a representation for us to understand that Krishna will not come and reside in our heart till the six anarthas are there in our heart, which are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita. So unless these anarthas are removed from our heart, and this is talking about conditioned living beings, unless the anarthas are removed from our heart, then when the anarthas are removed, the heart becomes a suitable dwelling place for Krishna and Balaram to come and reside. So that is why the six children, and there is another aspect also to that. They were actually the six sons of Marichi who were cursed. So they had to come and take these short births and be killed immediately and go back into their to their original position. So that is another aspect to this pastime. Any other questions or comments? So the question is that Paramatma, as we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that he is the well-wisher friend and he comes with us as Paramatma in the heart of the conditioned living entity. So how can Paramatma reside when there are the anarthas in the heart? So we have to understand the position of Paramatma. Now, the Paramatma coming with us is actually the mercy of Lord Krishna. So Lord Krishna is our loving father. And we as his children actually wanted to enjoy separately from him. So in fact that is something we are covering in our children's class also with the children, that we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that is why we were not ready to serve Krishna in the, originally in the spiritual world. But the mood in the spiritual world is for everyone to serve Krishna. So Krishna had to create another world for us, and so that we feel that we are enjoying separately from Krishna. So Krishna, not only as a loving father, created this another world for his children, where the children will feel they are enjoying separately from Krishna, although there is no enjoyment. The material world is meant to frustrate us and to turn us back towards our loving father. So not only Krishna did that, but as our loving father, he said that how can I send my child alone? So he decided to come with us. So with every living entity that he sent to the material world, or sorry, who decided to come to the material world, Krishna came with them as Paramatma. So the Paramatma has two functions. He is there as a witness to all our living and to all the activities that he do, and he is just an observer. So that means he is just an observer. So he is the sanctioner, he is the witness, and he is the sanctioner. He is just an observer who is observing all the activities that we are doing without interfering. And he is also the sanctioner, because he is the Lord, you know, the activities have to be sanctioned by him. So he sanctions, he allows us to do whatever we want to do. And only when we decide to turn towards him using the free will that he has given up, then he starts interfering in our life. So that is the purpose of Paramatma coming with us. So Paramatma comes with us by default, and this is the purpose for which he comes. But when we are talking about inviting Krishna to reside in our heart by removing the six anarthas, we are talking about exercising that free will. So when we exercise that free will and we turn towards Krishna, and you know, we instead of making keeping him just as a witness of our activities, we actually invite him to be personally present in our heart, guiding us and taking us back to Godhead through our various lifetimes. For him to become, you know, from the position of Paramatma being as a mere witness and a sanctioner, to become our well-wishing friend and reside in our heart actively, the six anarthas have to go out. So that is the difference. Of when we actively invite Krishna, we use our free will, we invite Krishna to stay in our heart, but Krishna cannot be invited into a place which is filthy. For example, when guests are coming to our house, we usually clean up the house before guests come. So in the same way, Krishna is the most important person. So when the most important person we are wanting to come and reside, then we have to clean up that heart of the anartha. So that is what is meant. And that is the difference between Paramatma, who is a neutral personality, who has come out of his own love with us, but we wanting on our, we as children wanting to then invite that loving father to be actively involved in our life, is when we are creating that suitable home for him to come and reside. We'll end the class here. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.